father was trying to explain the concept of marriage to his four-year-old daughter. He got out the wedding album thinking that visual images would help. When he was finished, he asked if she had any questions. So she pointed to the wedding party and asked, "Daddy, is that the day that Mummy came to work for us?" There are many portraits of motherhood in the Bible, and there's many things I could say about motherhood today, and there's many things that you mothers could say about motherhood. And I just want to paint a portrait of motherhood from the Scriptures. And for those of you who are studying 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus in the KYB, this morning the portrait of motherhood comes from not just the mother of Timothy who was Eunice, but also her mother, Lois. And I wonder whether those of you who are grandparents, and I'm a grandparent now, realise fully, and perhaps maybe you do, the impact that you can have spiritually on your grandchildren. Not just spiritually, but in every way, but particularly the impact that you can have in their lives and the seeds that you can sow. So just for a few minutes before we start up the Mother's Day Cafe, which is really the highlight of this morning, just a few words, a few thoughts from the life of Eunice and Lois, the mother and grandmother of Timothy. Now, Eunice was a Jewess. She grew up in a Jewish home. Her mother was Jewish. And so from an early age, from a toddler age, she learnt the Scriptures, which then would have been the Old Testament Scriptures. Obviously didn't have the New Testament Scriptures then, not in all their entirety. So she learnt the Scriptures. And they were taught to her in probably a formal way, but also an informal way. Deuteronomy chapter 6 encourages the Israelite people to teach diligently their children, to do it both formally, but to do it informally. Teach them while they're on the way. So that they were teaching lessons through life and in life. And this is the way that Eunice developed spiritually. When she was a mid-teen, or perhaps a late teen, she married. As was the custom in those days, young women married early. Don't be getting any ideas, those of you who are in that aforementioned age group. But they did, they married early. And we don't know too much about Timothy's father, except Paul says in Acts chapter 16, Paul tells us that Timothy's father was Greek. He was a Greek. And other than that, we don't know much about him. Meanwhile, Eunice's mother, Lois, lost her husband. And again, as was custom in the day, she came to live with her family. She came to live with Eunice and little Timothy. And between the two of them, between Eunice and Lois, they created a vibrant spiritual environment for Timothy without the help of VeggieTales or an Awana club. They were committed to his spiritual development. And I want to say to you, I want to share with you, mums, and I'm going to go back behind the pulpit now because I need to. I want to share with you probably three things that are really key that come out of the life of Timothy, Eunice, and Lois. The first is this, that they instilled in Timothy a respect for the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, and you don't need to look this up, I'll read it to you. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it." So, the first thing I want to say to you mums is this, and grandmas, and great-grandmas, it's so crucial to instill in your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren a hunger and a desire for the Scriptures as a foundation for life and living. I remember when I was a kid, my parents were very committed and dedicated to this. My father would read the Bible after every meal, every dinner time he would read the Bible. And sometimes as kids, you know, it's like we'd zone in, we'd zone out, we'd be thinking about other things, we'd lose concentration.
So the trick was this. My father would say to me, you need to recite to me, he'd say to me and my brother and my sisters, you need to recite to me the last line of the last verse that I read. So he would spring it on you. There were seven of us children, five of us living at home together. My two elder sisters had left home. So he would spring on us, what was the last line of the last verse I read? So you'd have to listen. You'd have to listen. You couldn't zone out and zone in. And then at bedtime, my mother would get us ready for bed, send us off to bed, and she'd say, now you've got to read your Bible. Every night we had to read our Bible. And again, there was a trick to this because she would come back and say, now you need to give me a summary of what you've just read. You need to give me the, you know, the gist of what you read. So you couldn't say something like when she came in and asked, what did you read? You couldn't say, I read about Jesus and his disciples. You had to give her an accurate description and summary of what you read. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for their commitment to instilling in me and my brother and my sisters a desire and a hunger for the scriptures. For Timothy, it was more than just intellectual knowledge. It was more than just a matter of cognizance about the scriptures. For him, the truthfulness of the scriptures was actually lived out in the life of his mother and his grandmother. And that's important. It's not just the formal training in scriptures. It's how you model that for your children in example as well. Second thing I want to share with you is that Eunice, Timothy's mother, and his grandmother instilled in Timothy an authentic faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we read these words, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. This word sincere comes up many times in these short letters. And the word sincere means unhypocritical. It means genuine. It means real. It means that there's a consistency of life and faith right across all areas of life. And if there's one thing, if there's another thing that I could really thank my parents for, it's that they modeled for me and for my family, for our family, sincere faith. Our home was like an open home to anyone and everyone. So after church on a Sunday, we had family, friends, relatives, boyfriends, girlfriends, randoms off the street, stray people here and there. Our family was just like an open home. Anyone could come. I think the word got out, you know, when we were living where we lived in Bertha Street in Goodnow, the word got out that if you go up to the top of Bertha Street and turn down the lane, there's a long lane, there's a house there, you can grab a feed, you can get a feed there. But there was a consistency of what my parents taught us about the scriptures and how they lived that out in their life. Now, they're not perfect. No parent is perfect. But I'm so thankful for the consistency. And this is the consistency that Timothy was exposed to. From his grandmother Lois to his mother Eunice to Timothy, a sincere faith. A sincere faith. It's a gift that you can give your children and your grandchildren. And then finally, they instilled in Timothy a desire to serve. And in Acts chapter 16, let me read to you these couple of verses. This is Paul, speaking about Paul. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him along for the journey. So he circumcised him. Ouch. Because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So in establishing a hunger for the scriptures and a sincere faith, Timothy's mother and grandmother established in Timothy a desire to serve, a desire to minister, a capacity to minister, Timothy was known as a strong believer and had a good reputation. He had a strong founding in the scriptures and he had a sincere faith. Everything about his upbringing led him to this point where he became a minister of the gospel. But I want you to hear that he had a servant heart. And in all of this, in his upbringing, in what was modelled for him, he was a man who knew what it meant to serve others. We live in a culture that is a consumer culture. It's for me, it's mine, I want it, I can have it. And it's countercultural and counterintuitive to train our children to actually serve. To serve and not to be served. To give and not to expect to receive. To serve humbly. What a great gift and legacy we can leave for our children and grandchildren. A hunger for the scripture, sincere faith, and a capacity to serve in the name of Jesus. I want to read to you a poem, and this is not my poem, but I'm sure you'll appreciate it. And this is to all of you mums. You'll love to know I've seen your tears. You've given to me my life. You've walked through hours, days and years of heartache, toil and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me, you gave up needs and often rest. You viewed eternity. To do his will, my highest call, that by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You helped me up in prayer. Though strands of grey may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've shown in me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that years so soon passed. Despite your love, I would not dare, for there's not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our mothers. Many of us here can say how powerful and life-changing the influence of our mothers have been. So we say thank you for that. We say thank you for the gift of motherhood. We say thank you that all that is good in mothers comes from the fullness of the character of God, and we thank you. We thank you, Father, also that in these moments when perhaps this day is difficult for some, where there's maybe hurt and broken relationships between mothers and children, that you are a God who heals and restores, and that you can bring comfort where there is no comfort. But today we want to thank you for our mums and honour them. We pray that they might receive from you the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That they might receive from us appreciation for all that they do, not just today, but in every day that they faithfully serve us, their families. So in the name of Jesus who loves us, who died on a cross to redeem us, we say thank you for our mums and pray your blessing on them today. Amen.